What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Hey, folks, we're live. We are back. Patriot Power Hour. Your host, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, with my co-host, Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. It's July 28th, 2020. 106th episode of Patriot Power Hour. Yes, 106 episodes starting right now. How you doing there, Future Dan?
Good. Do you think the rioting is as bad as it's being made out to be right now?
I guess the question would be, is previous riots, whether it's like Rodney King or in the 60s and stuff, if there was social media and all these cable news, what would that have looked like? Would it look crazier than it is now? Or because it is looking really bad right now, but a lot of that's magnified by media. You know, maybe a lot of it was that crazy back then, but it's looking a little rough. I mean, they're definitely trying to magnify it for lots of reasons.
So we have Portland and Seattle going on and on. But where else is it really?
We got a lot of people shooting themselves and shooting fellow protesters and shooting innocence in cars as well.
Well, I'm not sure how to carry this throughout the summer because most of the United States is perfectly safe right now.
Yeah, true.
It's a political football like no other. And I guess we're just watching to see if it gets back to the way it was at the end of May when the Minneapolis situation broke out.
And it's kind of quieted down. As you said, Portland and a couple hot spots in different areas for sure. But this is the last episode of July. And this is an election year. Everyone talks about the hot summer, that's the riots, all that. If we've already seen it, you know, I'm not saying it wasn't a bad situation, but it wasn't, you know, end all be all. So that's the question about the civil unrest, what's coming next.
There's a lot of injuries going on, you know, like lasers in the eyes of federal officers. Obviously, we talked about, you know, previously that, you know, federal forces are getting involved. You know, dozens and dozens of troops have now gone, or agents have now gone to cities, Custom and Border, in particular, that agency. And, you know, there's reports of them getting, you know, injured by lasers. So wild stuff going on in the streets, but it's not spreading and it's not resulting in fatalities, and we don't see blocks burning right now, so it is sort of contained.
Oh, yeah. It's not close to what it was, you know, when we sat here 2 months, 6 weeks ago, right, where we thought maybe it would explode to that next level. That doesn't mean it's not ready to happen, and we've definitely seen a huge organization and push behind a lot of these organizations, BLM and otherwise, gathering their funds, trying to enlist their cohorts, kind of their own red brigade in a way. So I don't know. I mean, interesting to start off on. I mean, I'm not too fazed by it. I'm way more concerned about the economic side of the socioeconomics, and this is a small portion of people and protesters, but it is important. And we've seen the violence escalate, though. Like I said, we saw innocent people getting shot up, and ironically, I'm not really laughing at it per se, but we saw, you know, these strong militia coming in to defend, and they ended up in multiple cases, multiple sites, shooting negligent discharges and shooting themselves or others. It's like, You know, I'm all about the Second Amendment, but, you know, whatever. What do you think about that? I mean, I know you support the Second Amendment, but what do you think about maybe some of these armed, what happens if these Antifa and BLM and other groups start becoming much more armed and that's their right under America? Is it not? It's not really well regulated. They say the same about the right wing all the time, so now it's almost time to look at them.
No, armed citizens protesting is what it is. It's allowed in the United States. And it's going to happen. And I'm just feeling like the riots, civil unrest, the armed citizens protesting, these streams of news this summer, Future Danger's a news radar. So playing off the metaphor, something's jamming the radar right now because it's really hard to get concrete news that's not completely politicized and spun in ways that don't belong on Future Danger. Now, if you get fatalities in cities, AP and Reuters will say that, and those are factual-based headlines that you're going to see on Future Danger. It's been troublesome for me and since the rioting really came off of the black-on-red number, top-level grade, to cover this news. Maybe you should be doing more to, report the 37th or 57th, whatever day it is, of riots in the streets of Portland.
Well, yeah.
And I don't think it's tens of thousands protesting anymore, so that indicator's not heating up.
No.
But obviously something's going on. I just don't feel like on Future Danger it's necessarily reflected that well. And part of it is there's a real tedium to these headlines. And obviously it's an election year, so it's worse, where, every news source is putting out something about the protests, peaceful protests, violent protests, riots, the whole spectrum of how you call it. But I just don't think they're widespread enough right now.
So this is the way I look at it. Danger. No, not a danger. Not in the way Future Danger is. It's hard to, even I that have done 106 episodes with you now, forget that Future Danger is about danger. It's not just about current events or news or what's going on. Is it dangerous? And yeah, this stuff is dangerous, but they're going to be doing that stuff in Portland, okay? That's a totally communist-occupied city. So is Seattle. So are most of the major cities. That's not where most Americans live. Not most awake people, hopefully, are trying to get out of there. I think that's a big part of it. I'm way more worried about the national debt hitting $27
trillion. Yeah.
I'm a lot more worried about our military rotting from within, potentially.
The dollar falling off a cliff.
Yeah. And that stuff, the thing is, that will precipitate way more intense and destructive rioting, civil unrest, and protests, etc. So what we have now is
status. So would be bad.
We want to go after the symptom or the cause. There's a lot of causes, but the symptom. And I'll also say that you probably got to be not even desensitized, but just kind of overwhelmed, or just like all you see is this news. I'm sure I definitely don't view as much news as you every week.
Yeah.
And really, like, most of my news is from futuredanger.com. We're going to hit the news blitz in a little bit, by the way.
Hey, catch
up. But I don't see this every single day from multiple sources, riot this, protest this. Like, I try to tune out a little bit so I'm not as driven as crazy, maybe.
A little feature on Future Danger, and I've received tips several times since launching in 2015 of news that we weren't tracking yet. We didn't have up on the website. Things are not 100%, and they're like, you got to be on this issue. On the rioting, on the mass protests, on the civil unrest, and all that comes with it.
Repos, by the way.
Repos is one where I got a tip too, and they was like, you got to be doing
that.
That's
a big one.
It led to a lot. If you see anything out there, this is to listeners, and you want to hit the click and hit a tip, find the indicator riots. Hey, we're not tracking anything newsworthy right now. Use this article, and chances are we're going to put it up right away.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Future Danger is way beyond just the news site, way beyond just headlines. So, again, we're going to hit that in a second. But I want to really talk about Patriot Broadcasting, Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Those guys.
I always say Patriot because we're the Patriot Power Hour, but the Prepper Broadcasting Network. the continuity had its first meeting last night. I was not able to join. Didn't see the note until a little too late, and I was busy anyway. However, I'm planning to join that soon. What is the continuity? Well, without going too detailed, from a high level, it's part of the membership here at PBN. You want to support us? Best way to do so, financially. $60 a year, or there's a 6-month or a 1-month package. But $60 a year, you get transcripts of every single episode on PBN. That's 10 plus episodes per week. So it's like 500 episodes of all different topics, from firearms to canning food to financial advice, et cetera, et cetera. Like 500 episodes a year. Transcribe, hit the keywords, right? You want to find out about Bitcoin, you want to hit AK-47, whatever.
That'll make for a good library.
That's freaking, that 1 year worth is like, that's a doomsday prep right there. Like, that's all you would probably need, and you'd have massive amounts of information. So anyway, continuity, there's also meetings, and you can stay anonymous, so you don't have to join that stuff. You know, I know a lot of folks want to keep the privacy, so long story short, that's my plug for Prepper Broadcasting Network. Go to prepperbroadcasting.com. You can check out the membership opportunities. Or if you are interested but you're not quite sure yet, maybe you only listen to Patriot Power Hour, go check out the other shows. The site's got a nice revamp, so you can easily find all the shows. Check a few out if you like them. Definitely worth supporting us. We are definitely not owned by a globalist mega corporation, so your donations do count, and 100% goes to the effort. So,
awesome. The continuity.
The continuity, part of PrepperBroadcasting.com. So,
yeah, just a heads up on the heat map when we cover it. I'll bring it in next segment. But okay. Column one's weak. Not a lot of news. And it doesn't feel like that if you listen to the popular battles in the political domain. But we do have column two, column four, and especially column three, economic news.
Oh, that's going to be a big one. Looking forward to that. All right. Well, we are going to be going to break.
Gold all-time high.
Gold all-time high. Bitcoin on fire. Silver on fire. But who's going to win? Fiat or real money? That and more. But, of course, the news blitz when we come back on Patriot Power Hour, July 28th, 2020 edition.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid, and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at DisasterCoffee.com.
You going back in?
There's still men out there. God damn. When I go home, people ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand It's about the men next to you. That's it. That's all it is.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
This is your Patriot Power Hour News Blitz. July 28th, 2020. Column 1. Gunshot to head, Parkinson's disease, deaths reported in Palm Beach incorrectly attributed to COVID-19 under news censorship. Also, Twitter suspends the president's son for sharing hydrochloroquine video. I said that wrong, but Trump's COVID drug continues to roil the political masses. The feds accuse ex-Philly congressmen of stuffing ballots. Proof elections have been attempted to be stolen, if not stolen. Column 2. Western Pacific. U.S. puts record number of military aircraft in the skies off Chinese coast in July. In the Middle East, Hezbollah border infiltration with heavy shelling attributed by Israel of the Iranian proxy in Syria. Israel sends reinforcements to the north, bracing for another Hezbollah attack. In the United States, mystery seeds from China are landing in America's mailboxes. Multiple states see unsolicited shipments, hoax, prank, internet scam, or act of agroterrorism, all suspected. More Customs and Border Patrol agents are arriving in Seattle as the riots continue. Portland, Seattle, we talked about in the first segment. Column 4. Coronavirus could travel 26 feet in cold, stale air, says one study. U.S. surpasses 4 million reported cases as hospitalizations near record. 1,000 fatalities for several straight days as virus spread accelerates in the South and West. Another study shows almost 4 out of 5 recovered coronavirus patients have lasting heart damage. Tropical storm came through, missed us, got Mexico. 11 dead or missing as the Tropical Depression Hannah barrels through. Nepal, record highest number of fatal landslides in 15 years. Nigeria, 11 killed in flash flooding. Car-sized asteroid flies by Earth at 1.1 lunar distances. Third closest this year.
0.1,
yeah. Nearly a tenth. Strong earthquakes out in the South Sandwich Islands. 6.1 aftershock hits the coast of Alaska. And the National Disaster Medical System remains activated, Ben. The Department of Defense is scouting contractors to set up potential mobile coronavirus hospitals as the Florida outbreak worsens. Florida's real hotspot on this 106th episode of Patriot Power Hour. Now, four, column three. Gold trades at all-time high amid economic uncertainty and coronavirus. $1,980 an ounce at its after-hours trading high this week. Tonight, the NYMEX gauge on the gold indicator on Future Danger showing 1957. This is simultaneous to banks slashing credit card limits. Risky banking. Dry bulk shipping rates slashed in half. Trade severely declining. National Teachers Union supports strikes over reopening plans. Massive strikes possibly kicking off. And the dollar is falling. U.S. dollar index, the DXY, extends weekly declines to a 22-month low. The value of the greenback collapses to less than, well, it's the inverse, Ben, 1,940th of an ounce of gold. The greenback's never been worth less compared to gold. Tonight, the DXY dollar index is at 93.46. The number of permanent business shutdowns continues to rise. The last initial jobless claims we have on data was still 1.4 million in the red. That's your news blitz on this July 28th, 2020, summer of uncertainty. What do you make of that?
Summer of uncertainty. Well, I'm certain that gold's at an all-time high. I've been watching this march up each and every week. I just think it's funny, the headline, that the value of the greenback collapses to less than 1,940th of an ounce. That's totally awkward. No one ever looks at it in that way. But back in the day, when gold was $30 an ounce, you could say, well, a dollar is equal to about a gram of gold. There's about 28 grams in an ounce. That's a little more realistic, okay? Well, now it's been inflated away so much, from $30 to $1,940 and counting. Peaked at nearly 2,000. I think we're going to cross 2,000 pretty soon. We'll find out. But anyway, that's big time. That's all-time high. Silver isn't at the all-time high, but is quickly approaching. Bitcoin's up nicely. A lot of this has to do with the U.S. dollar. Down, what did you say? How many months was it?
22-month low.
22-month low. That's big time. But, you know, 2 years ago, let's think about it. Summer of 2018, gold was at 1,100, 1,200, 1,300 back then, near the low.
And we're not getting the benefit of the lower dollar.
You know, exactly.
It's supposed to benefit our exports, but we have the news simultaneously that shipping rates are collapsing. Shipping rates are collapsing because ships aren't going anywhere. Nothing's coming out of the United States of significant quantity that benefits from the collapse in the greenback. So all the negative effects of the collapsing of currency, and the one true positive is we aren't benefiting from right now.
Is that old stagflation, stagnating slash really constricting? We'll find out what the true damage is, but I expect double-digit percentage contraction in the economy by the end of the year for sure, right?
When's the GDP figure due out?
Good question. For Q2, I would expect that sometime in August. Should look that up at the break, maybe.
It's coming soon.
Yeah, but
I haven't seen one in a while.
You know, they already fudged that and come out with revisions a month later, so, but they, how much can they fudge? Not that much, so it will be interesting to see. I'd like to see what they plug in there. But we've been talking about it for months. You wanted to talk a little bit about the delay in this, okay? So we saw these trillions of dollars spent by the Treasury and printed by the Federal Reserve and other central banks.
But before that, the massive...
It took 4 months to get to...
But the record gold. Stock market drop also.
Yeah, well, I mean, as soon as that printing happened, stock market went right back up. But gold had this lag.
It's like four and a half months, and now it's black on red. All those other things were leading indicators, and we had a gap of 4.5 months this time.
I got one for you. Remember, we need to find this, the old submarine, in the submarine. Submarine metaphor. Now it's the freight train. Once it takes a while to build up that momentum on gold, but once it gets started, man, you can't stop it.
Well, not tonight you can't. Something has always seemed to have stopped it, breaking out to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. What do you think the real value of gold would be in a non-centrally banked, non-fiat system?
It's so hard to tell.
Because, just a range.
I mean, it's relative to how much does bread cost in this? Because if bread costs $100, then gold will be, $50,000. But, you know.
At current, today, price of bread.
What is, the fair value, then, of gold?
Yeah. Do you think it's
given depressed? $27 trillion in federal debt and, you know, $7 trillion+ central bank balance sheet, Federal Reserve, and a lot more everywhere else. That's, you know, more than 5,000.
You think it's suppressed that much?
Oh, yeah.
60% of the value.
Not all suppressed, though. I think a lot of it's ignorance, too. Well, there's less oppression. No.
That's the market. If people choose not to use it, it's not convenient for them. If their non-use fails to drive up demand, that's sort of the free market working. But we've talked at length on this show, and you have for years, about the non-free market aspect of the price of gold. It's suppressed.
I think the answer would be then, if it wasn't suppressed, it would crack up to 2,500, 3,000, and then people would panic and buy it up to 5,000.
Really?
How about that? So what they had to do is suppress it, stop it from a catalyst chain reaction.
Well, if you look at...
But now they're losing control on that, and maybe it is going to jump from 2K to 3K, in a year. We'll see. They still got some tricks up their sleeves, but it looks like a runaway train right now. Choo-choo!
Well, the gold indicator hitting black on red is most dangerous. If you own gold and you're only talking about gold and you're thinking about the fact that you're benefiting from having gold, it's not dangerous. It's good news.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only black on red we got tonight. But it certainly isn't normal. And it's just a piece to the puzzle. This puzzle is multidimensional. It's got the temporal dimension. The black on red for gold is 4.5 months now later. What are the next ones they're going to heat up again?
I think I'm in insurance, so I always look at this from an insurance point of view. Think of it this way. It's SHTF level news that your house is on fire. But there's great news. Your policy kicked in and you're going to get paid. So, you made some money off of it. In the end, you're going to lose money because the economy collapsed, but at least you have some gold. You have some insurance. That's how it is. You're not going to make a lot of money. And this is what Warren Buffett and the rest will say. Oh, they're pet rocks. They have no dividends. They don't actually grow or produce anything. Yeah, that's true. But they also don't get totally overinflated and turn into a bubble and lose 95% of their value. So it's a balance. That's the whole point of gold and silver, in my opinion. So
yeah, it's a stabilizing force. It's always been a currency in every civilization. It continues to be a currency in our civilization. Got money, just tell
me what you want me to. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
It was right after the revolution, right after peace had been concluded. And Ethan Allen went to London to help our new country conduct its business with the king. The English sneered at how rough we are and rude and simple-minded and on like that everywhere he went. Until one day he was invited to the townhouse of a great English lord. Dinner was served, beverages imbibed. Time passed, as happens, and Mr. Allen found he needed the privy. He was grateful to be directed thence. Relieved, you might say. Now, Mr. Allen discovered on entering the water closet that the only decoration therein was a portrait of George Washington. Ethan Allen done what he came to do and returned to the drawing room. His host and the others were disappointed when he didn't mention Washington's portrait. And finally, his lordship couldn't resist and asked Mr. Allen had he noticed it, the picture of Washington he had. Well, what did he think of its placement? Did it seem appropriately located to Mr. Allen? Mr. Allen said it did. His host was astounded. Appropriate? George Washington's likeness in a water closet? Yes, said Mr. Allen, where it'll do good service. The whole world knows nothing to make an Englishman shit quicker than the sight of George Washington.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Yeah, these seeds coming into the United States from China, Ben. That has a scenario around it that is going to raise a lot of headlines, and we're going to look back on this if it was a nothing burger. But if what we've reported about COVID-19, that is potentially a genetically edited disease, and now seeds are coming in from China, what would stop some entity or some organization from that country putting genetically modified seeds into our environment, our agriculture? And could they have an adverse reaction? I mean, the Department of Homeland Security, USDA, I mean, all the state agricultural, organizations where these unsolicited packages are showing up, they're concerned. What do you think?
What I think of is how surprised people were in retrospect looking at World War I and World War II, and even going back before that, compared to previous wars, right? Everyone's fighting the previous war. Biowarfare and agri-warfare and all other types, cyber war, etc., is definitely on the table go forward, just like chemical warfare was kind of the first time they had gas, right? So does that mean that this is China trying to infect America with fake seeds? No, but that would be an interesting attack vector, and there's been science fiction about this, so it's not like it's the first time it's been thought of. But it is viable. It's creepy at the least. It seems like it would be effective, too. Like, how many people would just plant them? I don't know. Kind of weird, though. Like you said, it could be a nothing burger. These are the little things we do try to track, though. And it could be an attack vector. I don't know. I don't think it is. But it is kind of crazy, kind of creepy, too.
I think it totally has to be treated as one.
It has to be treated as one, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, you can't bring plants across borders already, right, for obvious reasons. You know, hybridization will damage native crops and you know, I don't even think they're saying in the article yet what kind of seeds they are. But if they're, you know, for some kind of crop that people commonly plant and it gets mixed in with the supply. And maybe, yeah, you know, there's going to be the cynics that say Monsanto already destructed everything. But, you know, probably the chances are that corporation and others edited, you know, the seeds so that they grew better in most part, right? Whether they have a soft kill depopulation angle to it, I'm not going to get into. Right.
The number one reason wasn't to destroy, at least.
Maybe there's,
hopefully,
things in the seeds from our corporations that are hazardous to our, you know, to us in the long run, and that's why non-GMO seeds have such a following. But in this day and age, coming from a country that just put onto the planet somehow one of the worst pandemics that, you know, we've lived through, well, for people alive today, it's the reaction at least has been the worst ever, putting, you know, seeds into our food supply and causing at least the same panic is not unthinkable.
No, it's not. And so, hopefully, this is what we pay taxes for, that we have intelligence and government organizations that can at least identify this threat and get ahead of it, right? Like, come on, we pay them billions upon billions. So, I'm not particularly worried about it, but it is crazy, and it could be effective, and who knows? I mean, even if they catch 70% of them, that could do tons of damage if some of it actually is planted.
I'm sure we could talk to people, get guests, have callers that say, you know what, it's already way past that. These genetic modifications have obliterated, you know, the natural order of so many of our food supply stocks, especially our, you know, livestock as well.
But, and the bees, right? And the insects.
But what if these are, like, built to attract disease?
Exactly, you know, yeah. There's all types of ways they could turn into a
vector.
They could
be weaponized.
It's not just to destroy our food crops by any means. No, there's lots of ways. So, a little bit of sci-fi, but we're also in the year 2020, if you forgot. So, crazy stuff. It looks like it's all over the place. I'm seeing it in Virginia, Maryland, a few other areas out on the West Coast, too. So,
That's a very interesting piece of news. There's going to be other hosts on this network who get into what the agricultural impact would be if you know, I'd love to hear their opinion on it, actually.
For sure, for sure. Let's get into a little bit of coronavirus. Looks like football is going to try to start, and it's not. Looks like most sports are going to attempt to start and fail. Looks like a lot of schools won't even start. But in certain areas of the country, they're going full force. Do you think they'll back off? We're getting close until we're getting to school season and kind of, hey, is the country going to open back up? We kind of beat it over the head each and every week, but we just saw, I mean, since our last episode that we talked about this, we've had four straight days of 1,000 plus fatalities. Now we've seen some of these fatalities mislabeled or either incorrectly or maliciously, but it looks like the fatalities are growing. The number, 4 million hospitalized, or 4 million cases and hospitalizations are going back near the record. Again, on one hand, it is kind of a, I do believe it is a psychological warfare experiment on the American people and the world in general. But it is a real disease. We saw, again, I don't talk about sports on this show, but the Miami Marlins baseball team, 17 of them now have it going into quarantine. So really, if just one person in your close group gets it, it really does transmit, you know, within just a few days to like everybody. That is wicked, and it's not going away anytime soon. What's this fall and winter going to look like based on some of these headlines and trends we've seen in the last week or two?
Well, there's what the disease is doing and not doing, and it's going to happen, right? Slowly, if we remain quarantined, more quickly if we don't, and obviously that's happening. The question is what the cultural and policy reaction to it will be. And the only thing I know for certain is between now and the election, there's a big slice of the American population that's absolutely going to demand the strictest quarantine measures that can be had in 2020. And I don't know if they know it overtly or just subconsciously, or maybe they're just ignorant to it. But those GDP numbers we're going to see are directly because of that. And it's strangling the economy. And who's going to pay the price politically is totally up in the air.
And I think what people are kind of, I know some people have their heads screwed on straight, but this rise in gold and all this other optimism is highly predicated on everything essentially going back to normal, like post-Labor Day. We're pretty damn near. You know, Dow at 26,000 is predicated upon business going pretty damn close back to normal in Q3, Q4. That looks like it's not going to happen. And if what you just said, they're actively trying to quarantine it and kind of bring that chokehold back on, right? They really put it on for a couple months, release it a little bit, putting it back on. It might be too much. The easy quarantine, the easy days are far beyond now. So if they reapply that, it could be real bad.
Yeah, I mean, the goal is to prevent people in vulnerable groups from catching the disease so they don't easily die from it, which this disease seems to me to be doing. If you're in the camp that says that none of the numbers are real and it's all a fraud, I can't help you. I'm going to go with the scenario that it is a lethal disease that came out of China. And we've talked about the source of that many times, but natural, man-made accident, on purpose, who did it? That kind of, you know, branching of the scenarios. This thing is going to kill people. And whether we drag it out to try to protect as many as possible, or treat it like many diseases in the past where it would sweep through. It was what it was. It was considered an act of God, and then countries endured it. We're doing something totally different this time. But with that fiat money system and central banking, I don't know. If we get away with it, we might.
Well, I feel like myself personally, back in January, February, March, when it was really building up, people didn't know the lethality. It could have been between 0.1% to 5%.
Yeah.
For everybody. We didn't know it was just going to pretty much be old or very infirm or, you know, comorbidities, etc. So that was a big part of that. That question mark's been pretty much answered. It's not lethal. It does have a lot of bad side effects. I think that's almost underreported, some of the side effects and symptoms. But we know that's been answered for all intents and purposes. Not a question mark. And the other reason we were supposed to all quarantine and shut in for months, they said weeks, and now months and beyond what they're going to try again, is will the hospitals be overflown? Will people have masks? Will they have medical supplies? Will the hospitals have them? Well, now people are getting used to the masks, used to social distancing to some degree. Got the rebels, of course. It is America. But I think society's a lot better able to mitigate it and go on, use some of these intelligent mitigation effects. A lot of people won't do it. Guess what? They're going to get freaking COVID. And there's going to be people that die, especially the elderly. It's going to be bad. But I'm with you. We can't just totally shut down again. This risk has been analyzed, and it's not as severe as we thought it was 4 months ago. So we can't be freaking shutting it down like it's Ebola or, you know, from a contagion movie or something, right?
Yeah, well, it's easy to say when you're your age, but if you're like 70 and know this is out there, it's not going away, and you may catch it, and eventually when you do catch it, your chances of surviving it are low.
It is
lower than
much lower,
any other disease out there in the air right now. There's an age group that's going to live this way the rest of their lives probably from this disease.
True.
That's a horrible fate.
No, that's a good
point.
I feel
bad about that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Like, if I was like above 60, I probably wouldn't even be getting out. I don't even go out of the house too much if I don't have to now. But you're absolutely right. That is horrible. My parents really rarely leave. And like I said, especially the older people. What happens if you live in a freaking nursing home? No one can come visit you. Stuff. So it is horrible. I don't know, man. Freaking blame China. I don't know. Don't want to make it xenophobia, but I got a feeling it came out of there maliciously. But regardless,
blaming countries for what they do isn't fear. Blaming other countries for what happens there is realism.
Yeah, from what I've seen, whether it was accident or on purpose is another deal, but definitely a bioweapon from everything I've seen. Anyway, guess what? We gotta go to break. We'll be back for the fourth segment. We'll talk a lot more on Patriot Power.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
These things you say we will have, we already have.
That's true. I ain't promising you nothing extra. I'm just giving you life and you're giving me life. And I'm saying that men can live together without butchering one another.
It's said that governments are achieved by the double tongues. There is iron in your words of death for all Comanche to see, and so there is iron in your words of life. No signed paper can hold the iron. It must come from men. The words of 10 bearers carry the same iron of life and death. It is good that warriors such as we meet in the struggle of life or death. It shall be life.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
We're back, Patriot Power Hour, fourth segment, final episode of July 2020, Ben the Breaker of Banksters. Follow me on Twitter, at BanksterBreaker. Send me an email, dethronedthebanksters@gmail.com. I know that's a mouthful, so just hit me up on Twitter, it's a lot easier, at BanksterBreaker. Where can they find you, Future Dan?
At FutureDanger6 on Twitter, works well.
Easy money.
Go to the website. Plenty of ways to contact us.
I was about to say, that really is the best way to go to FutureDanger.com. Find the different contacts. And the entire archive of all 100 and 5 episodes right now, 106 by tomorrow when I put this archive up there.
And almost 11,000 separate news links collected over 5 years.
That's a hell of a lot. Damn. 11,000?
Yeah.
Shit.
all that's a lot of news hounding. All could be exported per indicator for your research needs, too, for free.
All right. If someone was like trying to get their write their thesis on data science or some political science with data, that would be a freaking legitimate data set.
Or if you just want to look at, you know, what kind of rioting has that broken out in the United States in the last 5 years and put it in context how bad it was recently, you could do that.
You know would be interesting someday? And maybe you probably start doing this now even to some degree. Can you test do you have to click on each link to see if it actually still works? You know, maybe some of these links are going dead or some of these stories are being removed, scrubbed. Have you ever thought of looking into that? That might be kind of a neat thing to look in. You got to archive permanent headline and source document. But those links probably are going dead sometimes, right? And maybe getting scrubbed out.
Yeah, it could be.
Have you noticed any, though? Have you ever?
Not yet. Most of them work. And the most reputable news sources don't do that. I mean,
you do Washington Post. They're not reputable.
Yeah, but they won't change their link. They'll still have the news story standing, you know, several years later.
Okay.
Yeah, there might be some sketchy sites. They're not
memory holing it yet much.
There might be sketchy sites that do that.
They might start memory holing a lot more. That might be an indicator. We'll see.
Right. Well, that'd be news censorship. And I want to talk about news censorship a little bit right here.
Okay, what a hell of a segue.
The indicator where we've always talked about these things and, you know, the president's son being temporarily banned from Twitter is sort of minor league censorship, but nevertheless outrageous compared to our historical past in this country. But the indicator goes black on red really when the government starts censoring.
Okay.
And I don't see any danger of that. The most outrageous mainstream media type collusion to not report type censorship can't usually get above a red. But when we find that, you know, government forces are preventing information from being put out, you know, Snowden, that stuff.
Constitutional Bill of Rights crisis type of stuff.
Yeah. And we haven't had one of those lately, but could happen any day, of course.
Well, then, I mean, they have occurred and the damage is lasting. So that's something that everyone just needs to realize the news cycle is so short. Just don't forget what happened a month ago, a year ago. I mean, that's what's good about the archive on Future Danger, too. But even just in general, like, think of all the crazy stuff that came out of Snowden. Just that alone. And that stuff's kind of getting slowly but surely lost in time, I guess. Part of the fabric. A lot of people haven't woken up, though, from that. So I guess over time it diffuses in that way as well.
Yeah, so there's a little aesthetic going on Future Danger tonight that won't be here in an hour actually these pictures that are up will be here probably for another few days at least, but this is like describing something visual on radio. I'm not sure how well it would work, but if you're following along you can check out the pictures. We got a flake of gold pictured in the gold sores all the time. Not river gold. It's not a nugget. It's like I have a vein inside of a mountain. It's a flake of gold, and there's a person holding it. There's, on the risky banking side, the bank slashing credit card limits. We used a picture of a stack of credit cards, a little close-up of them. And then for the dollar, going to a 22-month low in the DXY. And just to stop and explain, DXY is a basket of currency, so it's relative to the euro, the yen, and several other currencies, the pound, and it's low compared to them. So that's why the DXY is low. That's why the indicator dollar falling is starting to light up. But we got a picture of the greenback. So we got a flake of gold, credit cards, picture of the greenback. And these are all, you know, mechanisms to transact the productive value of our labor and our property, right? It's currency. And it's interesting, if you don't take that raw ore and mint it and kind of press into it something that bonifies a government, it's just, it's, it doesn't seem to transact historically like it will if the government kind of prints on it that this is our currency. Credit cards have this, you know, very metallic, sleek, you know, attractive look to them, and it's part of our consumer customer or culture. And then the dollar, which hasn't been, you know, seriously, you know, the artwork on the dollar hasn't been changed in decades to any serious degree. And we still got Washington on a $1 bill, right? It has all kind of ornament. It's just two colors, green and white, or tones of them at least. So these forms that we use to measure and transact our value, our economic value, it always ends up having to be officiated or feel official, or enough of our society doesn't, you know, choose to trust it. Gold has that kind of stigma. Unless it's coming out of a mint, which we haven't done since when? You know, 60s with silver. And before that, we didn't, you know, currency for everyday use, gold coins, were taken out of circulation. So when that was removed, you know, what's your perspective? Go back to the gold standard, and how do you do it?
I mean, I think a big part of where you're getting at is the legal tender issue, and if the government accepts a form of currency, whether it's gold or silver, as taxes, or just U.S. dollars only, well, that gives it a lot of purview right there.
Tax payment. If they take it as tax payment, that's interesting.
That's a big boost, huge amount, because then businesses can account in that, you know, and then they can accept that as a payment as well. So that's a big part. That's not all of it. But what I want to show is, even though the U.S. dollar is not, backed by gold anymore, the government still produces it. The U.S. Mint, government affiliated, still produces 1 ounce gold coins. Right now, you could buy one of them for $2,065. So while we said that the higher, or actually the current price is about $1,960.
So it's a $100 premium to get it minted today.
Yep, and that's minted by the U.S. government. But I want to show you something. Let's go to a 1 ounce non-government coin. Non-government, same price. I actually didn't know it was going to be the exact same price. I thought it was going to be slightly less because the government premium, which there usually is. But you can buy a 1 ounce American gold buffalo from an independent mint, 1 ounce of gold. It's the most famous and well-known of gold, non-government gold coins, certainly.
Which one?
This 1 ounce buffalo.
Okay.
But it's, I think it's, I forgot which mint it is. We can take a look. The point is, it's not government. And, oh, it is offered by the Mint. Okay, maybe it is offered by the Mint. It's not legal tender because these 1 ounce are worth $50 face value, but not this 1 ounce. So that's interesting. There are independent gold mints, though. I would expect to have a little bit of a different value. But what I'm looking at right here, it's not the most exciting radio, and we're running low. But in the silver market in particular, you can get an American Silver Eagle, and let's say it'd be $25 for one. And then you would get a 1 ounce round from an independent, it'd be $22. So we're talking there is a premium on government, but in a free market, people will still just buy the silver just because it's silver.
I'm coming to grips with the mystery of money every day for the rest of my life.
It's hard.
So let's turn it to Bitcoin. What's that doing tonight?
Absolutely.
What's that price?
Bitcoin right now, $10,900.
It's just under
up more than 10% since this time last week.
So it's moving up with gold this week.
Absolutely. And it peaked out at about 11,400. So let's go back to about this time last week. Huge bump up. So just about 9,000 up to nearly $11,000 in just a couple weeks, definitely. Yes, it's about the 20th. So
enough to be worried. I mean, if gold and Bitcoin are havens for wealth, and it starts to flee into places, you know, that are a lot harder for the government to track that you have it, right? That surely is a sign that something's not stable, at least. Or is there some completely innocuous reason why both of them are moving up right now? When and the dollar's moving down, but we don't have any hard news of terrible economic events.
I think, I mean, there's always so much going on, but it's not a coincidence. There's correlation. And if anyone who knows statistics or math, a correlation of 0.5 out of 1 is like extremely high. So that's still not, you know, the causation would be 1.0. Without going down a statistical rabbit hole, let me tell you, the weakening of the dollar and trillions of dollars in debt spending and stimulus is helping Bitcoin.
Who knows what tonight on July 28th, 2020, who's putting massive amounts of money into Bitcoin and gold. What are they fleeing from ahead of the rest of us?
I mean, ask them. I'm one of them. I'll tell you what I'm fleeing, but...
GDP numbers coming?
I don't know if it's that.
Great Depression-like economic results?
It's possible
waves of bankruptcies and rent evictions.
What if they're... Well, that's a big part of it as well, right there, actually. Because the stimulus, in particular, the $600 unemployment is running out.
I think we're looking at what August might be all about right now.
Yeah, no, people are getting a reality check. I think that's a big part of it right here. Yeah. I think, as we talked a little bit before, maybe they're not able to push gold down as much as they used to with manipulation. Could it be the same with Bitcoin? Just saying, maybe they're starting to lose a little control or have to let a little pressure out.
Well, thank you for listening tonight all the way to the end. I think that's a preview for August. But thank you to all the listeners on this network and Patriot Power Hour. This is not the end. This is just one more weekly installment. We're just building forts week by week of Patriot Power on the airwaves to fortify a legacy that we've been talking about. What is not right and what we want the other patriots and citizens to know about. And I really love doing this show with you. So we'll be back next week.
Absolutely, man. No, great stuff. Great way to put it. New month, but Patriot Power Hour will always be back Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern. But let's make way right now for the Next Generation show. We're out of here. Future Dan, another good episode in the bank.
Catch you next week.
See you next week, buddy.
I wanna dance by water beneath the Mexican sky. Drink some margaritas by string of blue lights. Listen to the mariachi play at midnight. Are you with me? Are you with me?